browsing through the Davidson University Library years ago, I came across a periodical called the Illustrated London News. It was a periodical whose entire article, the entire periodical was devoted to the D-Day invasion and subsequent military operations. And there was a long article on chaplains in D-Day and beyond, and one of the incidents was straight out of Hogan's Heroes. U.S. Army chaplain led a very solemn processional of a covered casket, covered with blankets, attended by captured and wounded U.S. Army officers. And a small gathering of Nazi prison guards were watching, as were a number of the local Dutch citizens. It was a very shallow grave, solemn service, brief, and then everyone dispersed. But that night, Dutch citizens came and dug up the grave, because located in the casket were weapons and ammunition that the chaplain and the wounded army officers had managed to conceal and hide in the coffin. And the Dutch resistance fighters used those weapons and ammunition to hamper the Germans as they tried to resist Allied efforts. The periodical went on to another subject, but one of its throwaway sentences is what caught my eye. In one particular battle, 7 army chaplains were killed and 16 were captured, virtually all of whom chose to be imprisoned with their fellow soldiers. As we begin this Advent season, we contemplate not only the birth of the Christ child, but we contemplate the nature of the incarnation itself. That small incident illustrates the nature of the incarnation in a profound way. Those chaplains, given the choice, chose the starvation and the abuse and the disease and the barbed wire imprisonment of their flock. They willingly chose to identify with these suffering and wounded and captured soldiers. It's human nature to want to identify with others, but generally people identify with the winners. They wear the hats of the World Series champs or the jersey of the Super Bowl winners. But these chaplains chose to identify with the wounded and the suffering and the incarcerated. They willingly chose to embrace all of the vulnerability and mortality of their flock. And that is the very nature of the incarnation. John describes it perfectly. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and without the Word was not anything made that was made, but the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Advent season does not just disclose to us the nature of God, who God is. It discloses to us how God discloses who God is. The Word becomes flesh and dwells among us. Like those chaplains, Christ chose to identify with us in our vulnerability, in our weakness, in our suffering, in our mortality. the Word chose to identify with us in all of our limitations. The Word became flesh. So our God is not a God that keeps us from suffering or vulnerability or loss or grief or mortality. Rather, our God is a God that chooses to identify with us and embrace all of our limitations with us. Unlike all other religions, Christianity brings God out of the clouds, out of the mere transcendent realm, and understands God as taking God's place with us to reveal not only who God is, but who we are meant to be. That is the incarnation. And when we come to this supper, it drives home the point of the Word becoming flesh, the very symbols that we hold in our hand. This is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for you. These palpable symbols remind us that our God does not remain ethereal and transcendent, but becomes with us flesh in our midst, embracing all of our finitude and our vulnerability in God's own being. And so as we partake of this supper, recognize the Word really has become flesh, like unto ours. The Word does not remain in the Father, but becomes Emmanuel, God with us. And that is what we celebrate in this communion on this first Sunday of Advent. Paul writes to his friends at Corinth, "What I received from the Lord, I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you eat it in remembrance of me.' In the same way also the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" I invite you this morning to partake of the table of our Lord Jesus Christ. I remind you, as I always do, it is not Dr. Krimmer's table. It is not even the table of Vineville Baptist Church. It is the table of our Lord Jesus. And if you embrace the fact that he became flesh for us, and in him the glory of God was revealed, then you are invited to partake, participate, and to celebrate with us. As you've heard in the Scriptures, our Lord, trying to communicate to his disciples who he really was, who God really was, took the bread and broke it. And he says, "What happens to this bread, it happens to me. This is God broken for you." And in the face of that image of violence, vulnerable love, our Lord gave thanks. Lord, we are profoundly grateful, more than we can express, that you are a God who chose to identify with us. You identify with us in our pain, our suffering, our loss, because you know it not just intellectually, but viscerally. And we know that you're a God who identifies with us. And so we give thanks. May the symbol of this bread symbolize for us the depth of your commitment to us. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. After they had partaken of the bread, our Lord poured the wine into the cup. And again, trying to communicate the cost of divine love, our Lord said, "This is my blood shed for your sins." But then once again, he gave thanks. Lord, remind us that even as you have poured yourself out for us, call us, summon us to pour ourselves out for you. That even as we seek to worship you, we worship you through service. In the name of the Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. We invite you at this time to come forward. We'll start with this view coming this way, this section coming this way, and then the middle in the balcony. You can make your way as you see fit. If you would like to be served at your place, just raise your hand and a deacon will be sure to bring the elements to you. Our Lord said to his disciples then and now, take and eat. This is my body. When you partake of this supper, you are making a public declaration of faith. And so I invite you, as you take this element of the supper, to say with me aloud, Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus said, this is my blood shed for the remission of your sins. Drink ye all of it. Jesus Christ is Lord. Of course, as you know, that intimate dinner among friends was but a prelude to betrayal, arrest, interrogation, torture, gruesome death. But our Lord looked beyond all of those factors to the resurrection power of his heavenly Father. And so he invited those disciples to do something then that we have been doing ever since. He invited them to stand and to sing. We invite you to do that and to take advantage of this opportunity to embrace this Christ as your Savior. We invite you to respond even as we stand to sing.